Five Star Matinee.
You know, Emily, if you conceal any information, you're being an accessory yourself.
But, Shep, couldn't the Countess use her influence to protect an unwilling accomplice?
I know exactly what you're driving at, and if I did my duty, I'd turn you over to the FBI right now.
Five Star Matinee. This is your host, Fred Collins. And in just a moment, you'll meet a New York reporter who finds that a simple country girl can teach him a few things about his own profession. It's the story, Small Town Girl, by Phyllis Dugan. But first, hear this.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. Transportation makes it so easy to travel to all points of the globe. Say, for instance, that you went to the small, rectangular-shaped country of Portugal. This nation was once a part of Spain, making its people similar in some respects. However, they have a complete set of governmental laws and quaint customs all of their own. For example, one oddity of Portuguese law states that every cigarette lighter must be licensed. You're subject to a $20 fine and a jail sentence if you flash your lighter without being able to show the official permit. This is certainly different from what you're used to in the United States, but nevertheless, you should respect their laws and customs, for you are a guest in their country. And a visit to Portugal could be a very pleasant experience for you just by acknowledging their way of life and maintaining friendship. For a good friend never offends. Remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Now, Five Star Matinee, as Mary Jane Higby stars in Small Town Girl.
Elysium, Vermont in wintertime. Why couldn't I have been sent to some mild climate like Gander, Newfoundland?
Now relax, Tim. It's just an assignment.
Yeah, but if this blizzard hadn't grounded us in Boston, we'd be there by now.
And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
You're such a comfort to talk to, Shep. What's the poop on this, anyhow? All my editor told me was go up and cover the kidnapping and try to be honest with the expense account for a change.
You don't need to know anything. You're a photographer.
Sure, sure. And you're the famous byline reporter, D.D. Shepherd, toast of the Overseas Press Club. Me? I'm just a photographer. I still want to know what's the poop on this kidnapping.
Simple. One, Sonny Gilbert, aged 8, was abducted sometimes yesterday in Elysium, Vermont.
Well, that much my editor told me. But what's the big deal? Every New York reporter I ever heard of is on this train, and they all give me the business every time I try to find out what's so important about Sonny Gilbert.
And you mean to sit there and tell me you don't know who Sonny Gilbert's mother is?
I don't read the papers. You know that. I just look at the pictures.
Well, you've certainly heard of the Countess Teddy Castanocci, haven't you?
Oh, her. Sure, I know her. That smooth dame with the high cheekbones and the high hemline. Takes a marvelous picture, especially on the rail of a boat. Hey, wait a minute. Don't tell me she's Sonny Gilbert's mother.
Now you get the picture.
All of a sudden, it makes sense. No wonder every reporter in New York's on this train.
Well, it's a big story, Tim. Now you know why your paper made you take so much film with you.
Yeah, but if this kid comes from a rich family like that, how come they only ask for 10 grand ransom?
Amateurs, probably.
Maybe it's a spite snatch.
Maybe. But don't let all this information go to your head, Tim. Remember, you're a photographer. You're not supposed to think.
Thanks. And as long as you're in a mood for answering questions, Chef, answer me one more, will you?
Sure, what is it?
D.D. Shepherd. That's the way your byline always reads. What's the D.D. stand for?
Tim, I'd gladly divulge to you the innermost secrets of my trade, but a man has to draw the line somewhere, and that's where I draw it.
You won't tell what the D.D. stands for?
My lips are sealed. The real meaning of D.D. is a secret that'll go with me to my grave. Now, why don't you be a good boy and go off and develop some pictures or something? I'm going to take a nap. Well, it ain't a fit night out for man or beast.
Good gracious. Stamp your feet and come in. You look frozen.
I am. It was a young man from Quebec who was buried in snow to his neck. When asked, are you frizz?
Yes, yes, I know, but you're letting in a lot of cold air. Now, come inside.
Sorry, ma'am. Boy, you sound like a school teacher.
I am. Let me turn in the hall light so you can see to hang up your coat.
Thanks. Wow.
What's the matter?
I didn't know they still made them like you.
I presume you're another reporter looking for a room?
They told me down at the depot that Miss Maria Atherton was a nice old maiden lady.
She is. She's my aunt.
Oh. Do you have a room?
There are two other reporters here, but we can put you up in the chimney room.
Well, that sounds cozy. I'm up here about the Gilbert case, you know.
Of course.
Got any theories about it?
None. It's a dreadful thing.
You know the kid?
Oh, I've seen him. He's a handsome little boy.
Well, the Countess isn't exactly hard on the eyes, as I recall. Not as pretty as you are, though.
Thank you. I hope you meant that as a compliment.
Oh, not at all. Just a bit of factual reporting, Miss... it is Miss, isn't it?
Emily Larkin.
You made that up. You couldn't possibly be named Emily Larkin. For a country girl, it's entirely too pat.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean. Now, if you don't mind, I wish you'd hang up that coat. It's dripping all over the front hall.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
And if you took off those wet clothes and cleaned up a bit, I might give you a cup of hot tea. Come along, I'll show you to your room.
You're listening to Small Town Girl by Phyllis DuGan. Today's attraction on Five Star Matinee.
Did you know that an American citizen was once arrested for trying to vote? In 1872, 47 years before the adoption of the 19th Amendment, Susan B. Anthony was one of the leaders of women's rights in America. It was in that year that she entered a New York polling place and insisted that, as an American citizen, she be allowed to vote. But she was arrested, taken to court, and fined $100 and the cost of prosecution. Susan Anthony refused to pay either and insisted that she would continue to fight against unjust and unconstitutional laws, which, as she put it, tax, fine, imprison, and hang women while denying them the right to representation in the government. Because of public sentiment in her favor, she never did pay her fine. Through her fight for the privilege to vote, Susan Anthony added an important page to your political history. Now, back to Five Star Matinee and Small Town Girl.
Can't I pour you a second cup of coffee, Mr. Shepherd?
No, thanks. Oh, snow. Doesn't it ever stop?
It's the worst storm we've had up here in years.
If seven maids with seven mops swept it for half a year...
Do you suppose the walrus said that they could get it clear? But there's something dreadful about it, isn't there? Something ominous.
It sure cramps my style.
Oh, I've been reading your piece in the New York paper. Like Russia's Iron Curtain, the blizzard, now in its fourth relentless day, continues its attempt to cut the tense little village of Elysium, Vermont, from the rest of the world. Exhausted men are working 24 hours a day to combat it. The highway into the town is still open. By D.D. Shepherd. What does the D.D. stand for?
Oh, you too? I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
Why not?
My mother was a romantic. Most people call me Shep.
Makes you sound like a nice little dog.
Well, it's better than D.D. Try it, go ahead.
All right. Shep.
You make it sound like a poem. Emily, do you know what I'm going to do today?
I haven't the remotest idea.
I'm going to buy a car, a second-hand one.
What on earth for?
Well, I may have to get around this place if it ever stops snowing, and a car is the obvious answer.
Oh, I don't know. I find a bicycle very handy for going back and forth to school.
A bicycle?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's snowing like this?
Well, school won't open tomorrow unless the snow stops. If it does, I'll go by bicycle as usual.
Good Lord, why?
Well, I like to get there early before the children arrive on the bus. I get things done that way.
You take your work pretty seriously, don't you?
Don't you?
I guess you're right. Emily, tell me, who kidnapped Sonny Gilbert?
I wish I knew.
Ditto.
Who is it? Oh, it's you. So this is your new car.
Snazzy, isn't it? Want to take a ride?
Where to?
Anywhere. Dancing in the dark, seeing the sights of Elysium.
I'd love to, but I can't. I'm on my way to school.
A likely story. Where's your bicycle?
Oh, the snow's too deep. I have to walk.
Not as long as there's life left in this old buggy. Hop in. I'll drive you to school.
All right. Thanks.
You know, Emily, if you were my teacher, I'd bring you an apple every day.
Even if you did, it wouldn't help your grade.
Oh, the incorruptible type. You know what I'm going to say to your class when we get to school? I'm going to say, all right, come clean. Which one of you kids knows who grabbed Sonny Gilbert?
If you do, I'll throttle you. The children are excited enough about this as it is.
All right, then. I'll say, kids, I just want you to know you have the prettiest school teacher in the state of Vermont.
No, no, you won't. Because I'm not going to let you meet my class. You're going to drop me in front of the building and drive right off.
Well, then at least let me call for you after school, okay?
Well, if you like.
I like. What time?
About 4.
I'll be there. Sorry I'm late, teacher. Well, so this is where you mold their little minds, is it?
Shep, something happened today.
You mean here?
A note was found. I think it's from Sonny.
Let me see that.
Read it.
Dear Mommy, I am having a good time. How are you? Food is very good here. We had apple pie with cream. How is Snowball, my kitten? Your loving son. Is this on the level?
If it's a joke, it's a cruel one.
Where was it found?
A little girl named Marjorie Hall found it in the yard at recess. I spent the whole afternoon questioning the children about it. Not one of them knows anything at all about it.
Where was it?
Just lying on top of the snow.
Come on.
Where?
To see the Countess. If she can identify the handwriting, I'm going to call my paper with the first break in this case. Emily, I owe you a lot.
For what?
For giving me that note before anyone else saw it. My editor nearly kissed me over the phone when he found out the Countess identified the handwriting.
But what happens now with the other papers?
They're getting the story. It's a news beat for me, though. I got it first, and that's what I'm paid for.
Well, if it means something to you, I'm glad.
Emily, who's hiding Sonny Gilbert?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Whoever it is has got cold feet. They don't know how to collect the ransom. They don't know how to return the kid. That's why so many kidnappers resort to murder.
Don't say that. Don't even think it, Chet.
If it should be a local job, any Jukeses among your little pupils?
No, they're all from respectable Vermont families.
Except who? Now, don't hold out on me, Emily.
Oh, look out, that taxi!
Darn fool! Oh. Hey, I know that passenger. What are you trying to do? Kill me, Tim?
Hi, Shep. Been looking for you. What a story you broke today.
Well, if you mean that as congratulations, thanks.
Ah, what's this? Boy meets girl, huh?
This is Miss Larkin.
Oh, sure, the schoolmarm. Say, could I take some shots of you at school tomorrow morning, Miss Larkin?
Tim's a photographer for a New York paper.
Oh, well, yes, I suppose so.
Good. I'll want some of the little hall girl, too, okay?
As long as you're through before 9 o'clock.
It's a promise. Any more breaks, Shep? Any more notes?
Not yet. Nothing less than a few well-chosen words from the kidnapper would make my day complete.
Well, keep punching. See ya.
How could you?
Huh?
How can you joke about a thing like this? How can you be so professional and impersonal when a little boy's life is at stake?
Emily, this is my business. I can't get emotional about it.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Come in.
I waited until all your pupils had gone. You want to ride home?
Oh, thanks, Shep. As a matter of fact, there's something I wanted to ask you about. Will you sit down?
These desks are kind of small for my legs.
Oh, here. Use this chair.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Shep, now this is a hypothetical question.
I see.
I've been thinking, if the person who kidnapped Sonny Gilbert had a wife, and if he brought the boy home to his wife and the wife didn't tell, she'd be an accessory to the crime, wouldn't she?
You bet she would.
And she'd be arrested?
Well, don't you think she should be? A woman who aided and abetted in the most despicable of all crimes?
I suppose so. But, Shep, suppose she was afraid of him. Suppose he threatened her. Suppose he hurt her. I don't know the legal terminology, but isn't there such a thing as extenuating circumstances?
Emily, let's stop being hypothetical. Who is it?
No one. I was just thinking.
You know, Emily, if you conceal any information, you're being an accessory yourself.
But, Shep, couldn't the Countess use her influence to protect an unwilling accomplice?
If I did my duty, I'd turn you over to the FBI. Emily, if this hypothetical kidnapper of yours is the type of man who threatens and beats his wife, couldn't he be the type to bop Sonny Gilbert over the head and bury him in an unmarked grave?
Oh, Shep, no.
You're quite sure he wouldn't?
No. No, I'm not sure. Shep, I'm going to show you something. This penknife marked with the initial G. One of my pupils had it. First, he told me he got it for Christmas. Then he said he'd found it. He was very frightened when I took it away from him. He was terrified.
And you let him get away?
Oh, please, Shep, I'm not a fool. Take me out to see the Countess. If she agrees not to press charges against the woman...
Come on.
You take the next right. See, there's the road.
You really know what you're doing, Emily.
You heard the Countess. She promised nothing would happen to Mrs. Monroe if Sonny's safe.
Yes, but when he sees us driving up here in broad daylight...
I told you once I'm not a fool. While we were still up with the Countess, I telephoned a friend of mine in the village. Told him to keep Herb Monroe at the tavern until he heard from me. I promised to pay for the drink.
Well, I'll
wait. Now, wait, not so fast. There's a sharp left here.
How far is this?
About another mile, the top of that hill. You can see the house from the Countess's place.
Man. If you're right about this, Emily, I've seen everything.
Oh, Hetty, your poor eye. Oh,
hello, Emily. Who's this man?
My name is Shepherd, Mrs. Monroe.
He's a friend of mine, Hetty. It's all right. Everything's going to be all right.
Why did you come here? What do you want?
Sonny Gilbert.
Oh. Oh, then they've caught Herb. He's told.
No. Is Sonny here, Hetty? Please, have you got him?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's here.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, Emily. Emily, what I've been through. What tortures.
I know, I know.
Herb didn't mean it. Not at first. You see, he had little Herbie down at the village shopping. Herbie met Sonny, and the two of them got to playing. Then they hid under the robe in our flipper. Herb, well, he was drunk. When he saw the two boys and realized who Sonny was, he got this wild idea. I tried to stop him, and then he hit me here in the eye.
Why don't you tell someone, Mrs. Monroe? Get some word out.
I couldn't. I was afraid. But I took care of Sonny. I took the best care in the world of him. I could do that much. And I never let my Herb lay a finger on him. And then there was this blizzard. I tried to get out of the house when Herb was asleep, but I couldn't get to town through all the snow. Not bring Sonny with me. What could I do? Oh, what could I do?
It's all right, Mrs. Monroe. We'll take care of everything now. Just take me to Sonny. Well, it's over. It's been quite a 2 weeks, hasn't it?
It certainly has.
I don't want to go, Emily.
I wish you didn't have to.
Look, I want to give you the car. The paper will pay for it. Right now, D.D. Shepherd can ask for just about anything.
D.D. Shepherd. Well, thank you, Shep. I'd like to have the car.
You would?
Uh-huh.
Now, what kind of girl are you, Emily Larkin? You shouldn't accept a present like that unless you're engaged to the man.
I shouldn't?
Certainly not.
Well, maybe you're right, Daniel DeRonda.
What did you call me?
Daniel DeRonda. I guess right, didn't I? You said your mother was romantic. Well, I'm very fond of George Eliot's books myself. And Daniel DeRonda is one of my favorites.
That does it. You've guessed my secret. Now I'll have to marry you, Emily Larkin. As the price of your silence.
You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was born in 1795. He practiced law in Tennessee, rose to become governor of the state, and in 1844 defeated Henry Clay for the presidency. His administration was one of the most exciting in our country's history. The Mexican War was brought to an end, and the California Territory was acquired from Mexico. The boundary between Oregon and Canada, long a subject of controversy between England and the United States, was at last settled. You should have his name by now, but if you don't, here's an important clue. As his term was drawing to an end, gold was discovered in California. Yes, he was James K. Polk, 11th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Our thanks now to Phyllis DeGann for Small Town Girl, today's feature on Five Star Matinee. And I thought Bill Lipton was a very breezy D.D. Shepherd, and Mary Jane Higby was charming as Emily Larkin. Tim was played by John Gibson, and Eleanor Phelps was Hetty Monroe. Mr. DeGann's story was adapted for radio by William Welch. and directed by Daniel Sutter.
Five-star matinee comes to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.